Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? That's what the person who was out to get Snow White said. And I thought of another mirror looker in her was the country singer. I think you said, I can't wait to look in the mirror because I get better looking each day. How many said that when they rose this morning? You're spiritually healthy. That's good. Well, the disciples asked a similar question. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the greatest of them all in the kingdom of heaven? And what a question to ask Jesus. And embarrassingly, they asked the same question right after the Last Supper in Luke chapter 22. The Bible says a dispute arose among them as to which one was the greatest. And the disciples here are being real human at that point, like you and I would be. We want to know where greatness is and how to get it. Who's the MVP? Who's the homecoming king, spiritually speaking? Who's the valedictorian of the disciples? And so striving for greatness is not a bad thing, but remembering Jesus's, one of the lessons he's teaching here is that greatness is a gift from God given to people, a gift that they can put into practice and live out, not something to be attained certainly by human effort. And so the disciples are comparing themselves to themselves, or comparing themselves by themselves, and the Bible says that's not wise, that's not healthy. And then Jesus, he could have picked one of the disciples. I have my favorite ones of greatness. I think of John. I say he should have picked John. John was the most loving, and love is where it's at. Or he said, you should have picked Peter, because when no one else would take a stand, Peter took a stand. We need more to be more like Peter in today's world. Or how about Matthew? He came the farthest from being a corrupt politician to being a future gospel writer. Matthew, that's certainly greatness. Instead, Jesus certainly shocks the disciples and all of us, I think, as he takes a child, has them stand right in front of this spiritually astute group of people, and says, unless you change and become like little children, you won't go to heaven. And wow, what a wake-up call for the disciples and for you and I. And when Jesus uses the word change and become, he's talking about something that happens in a continuous manner. Not just change one time or become something once. But those are continuous action words. So he's talking not just about a conversion. And each one of us, by the way, is called by God and offered a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ our Lord. That's the way we begin to change. So this morning, if you're here wondering, how do I get to heaven? How do I become at peace with God? It's by faith in Christ. You can become a child of God. Get a fresh start all over again in your life. God would offer that to you. But it has to do with continual transformation also. Change and become, Jesus said. And he said, whoever humbles himself like a little child would be great. And the disciples, like all of us, have a problem with pride. I'm going to try to use the blackboard behind me here again. Pride is something that can trip us up as people and as even believers in Christ. I think pride easily besets a Christian as easily as it would anybody else. It's a sin that would easily beset us. And one preacher, he was really wanting people to turn to God in a humbling manner. He said the sin of pride would keep more people from God than alcohol, than immorality, or any other sins of addiction. It would be pride of saying, we could do it without God. We don't need his help. Or we have a high-minded view about ourselves. And so to look at pride and say, Lord, deliver us from that. Help us to get this childlike quality. The disciples needed that. We need that also. Pride is an overly high opinion of yourself, exaggerated self-esteem. God's word says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. I thought of the old Jerry Lewis song. This is years and years ago. He used to sing a song, What Kind of Fool Am I, Who Never Fell in Love? Seems like I'm the only one I have been thinking of. That's a song of pride. I can't love because I got myself on my mind over here. Pride will bring boasting, taking the credit, showing off. True warning to preachers here, doing all the talking, demanding all the attention. Pride can trip us up. Fear and pride often go together because pride wants to keep itself away from others and push others and God away in a self-protective kind of mode. Often pride will lead to separation from God, other people, and ultimately not knowing who God made us to be. The disciples were mixed up. They didn't know what true greatness was. Jesus had to show them in the life of a child. Pride will often compare itself with others and does not have that gift of joy, you might say, or happiness. Psalm 34 says, "The Lord rescues those who are contrite in heart." If we have a problem with pride and we recognize that, we could say, "Lord, help me to know how to bow my knee before you." You know, the word humility and humble yourself really means to be lie low, close to the ground. A lot of times in worship, people were low to the ground. Maybe they bowed down or they knelt to pray. That's a picture of humility. That God would bring that into our life. We sang the song that depicts opposite of pride at the beginning of worship when we sang, "As a deer is thirsty for water." One of the lines was this: "To you alone may my spirit yield." Lord, my spirit's either going to be overly for itself or it's going to yield to God. And God wants us to yield to Him. Humility is something the Lord would give us. He said, "Humble yourself like a child." And God could do that for us. Humility is something that is lived out but never claimed. Someone once said, "Why are all the humble people under the age of 12 and over the age of 65? I don't know if you can see examples of that in your life. Certainly Jesus did when He put the child in their midst. A child looks out the window rather than in the mirror to praise or to be excited. I can't remember looking at myself in the mirror hardly at all or even, if ever, before the age of 12. Mirrors weren't important to me. It was what was going on out in the world, you know, and what people were up to. And when I hit 13, you know, I checked myself out several times a day and make sure everything's okay with a number one over here. It's a sign of pride. The Lord would give us a heart of seeing what He's up to, a kingdom perspective of cause and effect. A lot of times children can note that God is at work when adults miss it and have a happy, hungry heart toward the Lord. Humility as a gift would be a resting in God's nature, His plan, His provision, transparency, and effectiveness. Children are so teachable. It's incredible how much they learn just in a year's time of school. I try to let children know about that when they think of school itself. They learn incredible amounts of truth that could be life-changing for them. Also some errors, but that the truth could change them. Transparency and effectiveness. Also, children are open-hearted. As a child, you probably cried more, laughed more than you do now. Is that because you have a lot of self-control? Or is that because your heart, you let it get a bit hard with what has happened in life around you? More important, what's happened to your own heart. Transparency and effectiveness. And humility produces community and fellowship, a sense of togetherness. Children like that. Commitment and generosity, trust and truth, inspiration and commitment. Humbleness. Humble yourself as a child. The one who modeled these things the most was, of course, Jesus. The most humble one ever. Was also the most glorious one. The most powerful one. How could it be so? Well, He modeled humility. In Philippians 2 it says, "Have this mind among yourselves that was in Christ." He humbled Himself. He humbled Himself in His birth. He was born and placed in a manger. Humbled Himself in His mission for salvation, rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. I mean, you go out and buy a car, you want a donkey? Well, I don't want that. I need something better. Well, maybe we need the donkey. He washed His disciples' feet on the mission. He even in his death, humbled to the point of death on the cross. The cross is no place for a king. But Christ would give. And so F.B. Meyer once said, the only cure for pride is to have more of Christ. Lord, take up full residence in our hearts so we could follow after you and become a childlike in humility. And that requires change and becoming. Did you know you and I as Christians, we're always at our best when we repent, when we change. Repentance and change are not just for people who don't know Christ at all. It is also and especially for God's children. Change and become like little children. What a blessing it is when we do this. We take on that mantle of walking next to the Lord in his yoke. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, Jesus said. He is humble in heart. And then we find rest for our souls. Don't you love it when your soul's at rest? It could be in a great amount of work or great amount of difficulty. If your soul's at rest, there's a humility shared from Christ there. What else is a child like that we could ask the Lord to build into us besides humility? The child's in the midst of the people. It's also a child is innocent when it comes toward evil. Evil's not something it's excited about. More excited about the good things. A child's mind is not as corrupt as adults' minds are. James Dobson tells a story of his son Ryan. When Ryan was about 5 years old, they passed by a drive-in theater. And Ryan wanted to go. I want to go to the theater and see what's going on at the movies. Dr. Dobson told him, "Well, we can't go. We can't go to these movies because they're not good. They're bad. They're kind of dirty." Ryan said, "You mean in those movies, people throw dirt on one another?" That was the most corrupt, evil thing he could think of. You know, people having a dirt battle. And the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14, in regards to evil, be infants. You can have an innocent mind again when it comes to things that are against God. We're bombarded by those, but a lot of times we buy into those. God can give us a mind that's clean like Christ's, because he shares Christ's righteousness with us. Our minds are sharp. They're in tune. There's a healthy maturity to them. In regards to evil, be infants. I heard the story of a basketball coach from LSU that has a real wonderful basketball program that produced such good players as Shaquille O'Neal. Some of you know that name. He was riding on a plane one day and he saw a little baby. And that time, the LSU basketball program was under investigation for all kind of potential corruption. And he looked at that little one and he said, "Oh my, what have we become?" He longed again for, in regards to evil, to be innocent. Disciples had a lot of dirt in their life. And you and I, no matter how much sin or hatred or bad things we've allowed to come into our heart and mind, God can give us a clean mind again, a clean heart, a fresh start with Christ today. How he would do that for us if we'd turn to him. Anybody up for the gift of a clean mind and a clean heart? Change and become like a child, said Jesus. And the third quality, besides humbling ourselves, being innocent toward evil, is that children trust God for great things. Their worlds are full of possibilities and mysteries. I remember as a child thinking, even when one of my family members suffered a stroke and was disabled. I didn't have a close relationship with Christ. I prayed so fervently heading to the hospital to visit him. I thought God would do something good for him. And when we got there, I know the Lord works in his own manner, but I felt a part of whatever good was going to happen. My uncle's foot began to move for the first time as he would regain some measure of ability to move around. A child's world full of mysteries and possibilities. For a little girl, a frog can turn into a prince. Got to kiss the frog, though. Some have kissed the frog. around them. Allow God to intervene. And to regain that open-heartedness to God. Children have a simple faith, a strong faith. Ravi Zacharias wrote a book on childlike wonder. He quotes this poem in the book. I'd like to try to read it with you here. Just I'll read it for you. The poem expresses this. It's odd, God, time, shoeless feet sneaked up on me and caught me by surprise. The days of youth I knew so well are gone with a blink of an eye. Innocent play and laughter, tire swings, and fun. Those days were too soon ended when I thought they'd only begun. Backyard friends were many. Worries and fears were few. Hopes and dreams were not yet dashed. But life as it was then is through. No longer tree swings. Now they're blowouts. It complicates schedules and work as I recklessly race down the freeway in search of a paycheck and perks. How I long for the years of my childhood when life was uncluttered and free. Perhaps there's a way to reprogram my goals and capture the me that was me. For a lot of people, childhood was a rough time. And when you look back on your own childhood, you might say, I didn't have laughter and joy. Something about your childhood, you got robbed from your childhood by some terrible events, perhaps from the people, folks around you. But as a child, God can give again a childlikeness to your heart that perhaps you missed along the way. Or maybe you had at one time and now you become a matured and a little bit of hard-hearted adult. God can set us free from that. We can be a child of God no matter what age we are. And humble again. Michael W. Smith expresses the same thing in a song. He said, this is an autobiographical song. He said, there was a boy who had a faith to move a mountain, and like a child, he would believe without a reason. He says, I've been searching for that missing person. Where'd he go? The way he used to trust God, it was boom. Ravi Zacharias says, childlike wonder, reason, and maturity are not at odds, but they are together in God's work in a person's life. Maturity, childlike wonder, and reason are together as gifts from God. And it could be reflected in the way we look to God, the way we treat others, the way we see ourselves. Gladly dependent on the Lord. Once a child prayed in a prayer meeting that was very intense and people were praying magnificently, and the child prayed, Lord, make all the bad people good, make all the good people kind. That kind of heart God could give to us. Can you be childlike again? Some would say, no, I've gone too far. Too many battles lost. Too hardened by life's ups and downs. Why, it would virtually take me to be born all over again to be childlike. And God's promised us that you might be born not of a human decision nor of the will of men, but be born of God. Born of God. God can do it for you and for me. Jesus offers that. He says, change, become like little children. And watch the great things God brings into your life as you get in the yoke with Him. Let's pray together and ask Him for childlike faith. Lord, through Jesus, we can regain some of the joy, perhaps, some of the energy, the excitement of being like a child, where there was a humility about us. We were hungry to learn at every turn. We perhaps had more friends than we do now. There's a reason for that. We become proud and self-sufficient. Perhaps we believed that you could do greater things than we do now. I pray for your Spirit to teach us of your humble nature, Jesus, being the King of Kings. I know you could change any person here into a child of God through faith in Christ. Might there be someone here today who said, well, I go to church, I think I'm pretty religious, I do a lot of good things, but you can make them a child of God and fill us with that life that we long to have. Thank you for the truth that the Bible says. See what love God would give us, that we would be called children of God. And that's what we are. Help us live as you made us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.